Yes, I love it.
Sweet, he's giving me 300 boxes of grape nuts flakes.
Friends anybody ever had. And it's funny, but I feel as if I've known you all the time.
I love music, good music, but not swing. I sing.
Hi, and welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast. Each week, we will dive into a certain star and talk to some people who know much about him. I'm Kate, your host, and welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast. Hope you enjoy it. Hi, and welcome to the Movie Magic Podcast. On today's episode, we will be reviewing Rosalind Russell. Rosalind Russell is one of Hollywood's greatest and finest actresses. I got the chance to get to know and interview her son, Lance. Here's what he had to say about his mother. So, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Enjoy!
Hello?
Lance?
Yes?
This is Kate Gaddis calling.
Hi, how are you, Kate?
Good, how are you?
Well, it's a terrible day with all that mass murder and...
Oh, I know.
But other than that, I'm fine.
Well, good, good. Thank you very much for being able to talk to me about your mother, Rosalind. I just want to explain a little bit about this project. It's been a very personal project for me. Since I was little, I've wanted to know a little bit more about my favorite movie stars, other than just, you know, them being great in actors and everything. Because they could be really great actors, but they could be terrible people, or they can be, you know, loving parents, or et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to ask a few questions about Roz, about what was she like behind the scenes. Can you tell me a little bit what she was like as a mother?
She was, I guess one way to, you know, my mother was, in a lot of ways, she was two people.
Hmm.
She was a mother, and mm-hmm. a good mother, but she was also a celebrity mm-hmm. actress,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I saw both sides of that, and... the side that I liked the most was just my mother, and you know she was born and raised in Waterbury, Connecticut, far away from Hollywood, as you probably get,
mm-hmm.
and her mother wanted her to become a teacher. And instead, she became an actress. And by the way, she was one of seven children.
Seven? Whoa.
Pardon me?
She was one of seven? Wow.
Yes. There were actually nine children born. Two of them died as children, as babies, which was not uncommon in those days. And, you know, so she grew up with... three brothers and three sisters,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and her father was a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
But it was a very New England American family, and she had good values from her childhood, and anyway, you were, you know, asking about
mm-hmm.
her as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She had her feet on the ground. She was never swept away with being a celebrity,
mm-hmm.
And being a successful actress. And, you know, and particularly from the mid 30s to through the 50s, she was with exception of a few periods where her career took a dip,
mm-hmm.
but during most of that time, let's say from the mid-30s to the mid-60s, 30-year period, she was a huge international star, you know, when she went to Europe to promote a movie or something. I mean, the press was climbing all over her. And, you know, when she went to a restaurant with the family, whenever we went to a restaurant, there were people always, you know, coming up to the table. And she was very down to earth in terms of dealing with people and never got upset or anything like that. I probably, I didn't get visually upset, but it was kind of irritating to be out with your family and having people asking for her autograph all the time.
Mm-hmm. Was she funny?
So anyway, as a mother, she and I, you know, my father, to understand this, I need to explain something, which is...
Yes, please.
She married a man, my father, who was born in Denmark, and who, when he was 9 or 10 years old, his father moved him and his wife, in other words, his mother, they moved to England, and his father was an entertainer as well. And so he grew up first in Denmark and then in England. And he came to the United States in 1939 or 40. I think it was 39. And so his roots were in Europe. And my mother's roots were in the United States, Waterbury, Connecticut. And so, you know, my mother and I shared certain things, like we both were baseball fans. My father is somebody who was born and raised in Europe. You know, his interest in sport, he wasn't very interested in American sports. So, you know, my mother and I were close in that sense, that we shared the same experience of being born and raised in the United States. And we loved talking about politics together and, you know, and news and, you know, kind of whatever's going on. And, but that was the side, you know, in between making movies working on Broadway between shows and stuff, but when she'd have time where she wasn't working, you know, she loved gardening. She loved fiddling in her garden and planting stuff, getting her hands dirty in the garden. And you know, we had family barbecues and those kinds of things. It wasn't, you know, the non-glamorous side of having her as a mother was probably my favorite side. I mean, just, we were like regular people, and living, you know, pretty comfortable life, but doing the same thing that millions and millions of people did, which, you know, like having barbecues and going to the beach and those kinds of things. And, but there was the other side, which was the more glamorous side, and certainly the side that was in the public view and the media view.
Was she funny as she was in the movies, comedic?
She was in, like, party situations. You know, I think once you're an actress and you've achieved great success and you've played comedic characters and stuff, and, you know, when you're having a you're at a party and there's often a lot of other actors and people from the industry at these parties, and there's, you know, there's almost an expectation that you're going to perform a little bit. And I don't mean perform in the sense of a big you know, playing a role or anything, but to be funny, sure, or to sing a song or whatever.
Did she ever mention to you which film was her favorite that she made? Or one that she didn't like that she made that she's like, shouldn't have made it? Did she ever mention that?
Well, I think that the movie that people ask the most about, of course, is Annie Mame.
Yes.
And she not only made Annie Mame, I mean, she created the character, you know. She created the character on Broadway and performed on Broadway in Annie Mame for 2 years.
Oh, she did it on Broadway, too?
Yeah, you don't know that?
Oh, no, that's new to me. Sweet.
And, you know that she won a Tony Award on Broadway for, before she did the comedy Annie Mame, she did a musical called Wonderful Town. Mm. And she won the Tony in, I think it's 1953, for Best Actress in a Musical, which is like winning the Academy Award. It's the Tonys are the big awards on Broadway. So that was one of the bravest things that she ever did, doing this musical, which was, the music was written by Leonard Bernstein, and do you know who he was?
Yes, I do. Great musician. Great man.
And, you know, she was not a natural-born singer, and it was a very gutsy thing for her to do. Mm-hmm. I was there because I was going to school, grade school, when she made the decision to do Wonderful Town. We moved to New York, and I started going to school there. Mm-hmm. And I remember how she was fearful. And what it took for her to build the confidence to be able to be the star of a musical on Broadway. And it was really, I think, one of her greatest achievements, and for which, you know, the reviews that she got were colossal reviews. Anyway, she did that for a couple of years on Broadway, and then there was a break for a while, and like 6 months or 8 months, and the next thing that she did was Annie Mame on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And then after a couple of years of doing that, there was a break while the preparation was being done for making the movie Annie Mame.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, was she really an Annie Mame person in real life?
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is no, she wasn't, but she could turn it on in her private life just like she did in her professional life. I mean, she could be a little wacky, funny, but, you know, Annie Mame was always a loving person.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a very loving mother, and very loving with her friends, the people that she was, you know, closest to. And so I don't know if that answers your question. But
I think it does, because I know that, I know this is ironic, but I love Auntie Mame, and I finally bought it on DVD, and I could just hear myself, like, quoting some of her lines from Auntie Mame. Like, I was going to the bank, and I just said to myself, I'm being attacked by the Knickerbocker Bank, like, just as the way she would say it. I mean, just some of those lines, like, some people don't even realize, like, how, like, iconic that movie is for some. I mean, that was one of the first movies I saw of your mother. That's why, I was like, oh, my God, she's so funny.
I think that's a good word for it, about iconic, because... Mm-hmm. One of the things that was, Annie Mame was based on a book by a guy named Patrick Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision to make it into a Broadway show, I remember them talking about the strength of the story was you'd hear them, the writers and the director and my mother and others, saying the reason this is either successful or it's going to be successful is that everybody says, oh, I've got an aunt just like Andy Main. Mm-hmm. That's the iconic part of it. People can identify with it and say, well, I've got a crazy aunt, you know. In our family, we had not a crazy, but an eccentric aunt named Aunt Tilda. Mm-hmm. She was a great aunt of mine. And every family's usually got somebody that they go, well, I know somebody kind of like her. Mm-hmm. So people could identify with it.
Another movie that I really loved your mother in was The Women. And I think that probably was another one that I finally decided to buy because she's just so witty in that movie. Her comedic timing is just, it's something I've never seen. And then I've seen His Girl Friday. What is your favorite one, your favorite movie of your mother's? Do you have one?
I do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's His Girl Friday. Mm-hmm. And it's my favorite for a couple of reasons. One is, I think that it followed The Women. The Women and His Girl Friday both were both produced in the same time frame. And first of all, it's a great movie.
It is.
Secondly, and extremely importantly, it was a milestone in showing a woman in a professional position in which there were very few, if any, women. Mm-hmm. That this was a role model for women that they could stand up to, in this case, stand up to Cary Grant, stand up to men and be successful in roles that women were typically not active in. Mm-hmm. So the you know, I think that without ever politicizing it, mm-hmm. that my mother had a lot of roles as lawyers and as professional women.
Oh, yes.
And I think that her career had an impact on the development of women as more than just wives and mothers and domestic help, but women playing extremely important roles.
And that's why I love her. Because growing up...
In the 1950s, mm-hmm. This is a movie, she did a movie that my father produced, and I think she helped write it.
Oh.
And it was called something WAC here, WAC.
Okay.
And I'll just look it up.
Okay.
Do you know what the WACs were? WAC?
I don't think I did. No, sir, I don't.
That's okay. It was called Never Wave at a Whack.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
1953. It wasn't like some gigantic success. It was successful. Mm-hmm. But the reason I'm citing it is the WACs, the WAC stood for Women's Army Corps.
Oh.
And it was, she made the movie to draw attention to the role that American women were playing in the military.
Wow.
And this is during the Korean War, 1953. Mm-hmm. And the WACs really established themselves during World War II. Mm-hmm. And they were also, again, engaged, not in combat, but in all kinds of roles in the military during the Korean War. And that's why she did that movie.
Mm-hmm. And your mother wrote a memoir called Life is a Banquet. Is that right?
Have you read it?
Yeah, I have, and I love it. Oh, my goodness.
Because a lot of the things that seem to interest you,
mm-hmm.
she addresses them in that book. I'm glad that you have
yes.
read it.
I it's at my library. I don't own it, but I have read it. I hope it's still there because I haven't read it in over 2 years, so I need to go back and read it. Because I know she was...
You probably could buy a used copy on Amazon for not a lot of money or something.
Oh, okay. Let me see if they have that. When did she decide to write that? Did she always think that she was going to write a memoir, or was that just a spur-of-the-moment thing? Oh, I'm going to write a memoir.
No, I think it was... she came down with... I got to back up
okay.
just a step and tell you that in 1961,
mm-hmm.
she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she had a mastectomy. And she was active. The fact that she had the breast cancer and a mastectomy in 61 was never made public because in those days, women just never, in professional careers, particularly in acting, would never publicly, if they didn't have to, they would never admit to having it.
Mm.
And but because it would have a deadly impact on their careers, she continued on her career and doing quite a few things in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up not only the breast cancer, even though she'd had a mastectomy,
mm-hmm.
it spread, and she had second mastectomy. And in 1969, she came down with rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh.
So her health situation just was terrible, to be honest with you, by 69 and 70. And it's in the book about the fact that, you know, she decided to use her celebrity to draw attention to the disease of arthritis, even though what ultimately killed her was not the arthritis. But
mm-mm.
when
mm-mm.
She died of metastasized breast cancer.
Mm.
But in answer to your question about the book, I mm-hmm. think that after she came down with the arthritis in 69 and she'd had both mastectomies now, and the concern was that particularly back then, the way cancer was treated in the 60s and early 70s is very different than the way it's the advances that have been made these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she had been, people had pressed her for years, for decades, to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she saw that the time that she had to, if she was going to do it, that she needed to get started. And I don't remember exactly when she got started, but I would say that it was probably in the early 70s. And she wrote... my mother was a really good writer.
She is.
And wrote several screenplays.
Oh.
And wrote a lot of... I used to see her sitting with the director and sometimes the writer in our house working on Annie Mame. And she had a great sense of timing and all those things. And anyway, she wrote the book... with a co-author, who was a woman named Chris Chase,
mm-hmm.
and Chris Chase wrote a really nice article after my mother died about what it was like to work with her on the book. And it was a New York Times article. You could go online and find it if you were interested.
Okay, absolutely, sure.
So I think it was in response to a feeling that people were interested, mm-hmm. and that time was running out.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, am grateful that she did it because...
Me too.
when you're somebody's kid...
Yes.
Even as I was an adult by... 1970, I was 27 years old. I was as much of an adult as a 27-year-old could be. And it's just really hard to sit down with your parents and get them to tell you their life stories.
Yes, it is. Believe me.
So if I have a bit of advice for you, if your parents are still around...
They are, yes, both of them. Mm-hmm.
Ask them to tell you stuff about their childhood and their lives. Because when you get to be older, 40s, 50s, 60s, you'll be so grateful to have that information.
Oh, I bug them all the time. Oh, yes.
All right.
Oh,
well, that's good. You're smarter than I was. So anyway, I have the book.
Yes.
I have my own memories, of course.
Absolutely.
The memories of her childhood and the early years of her career, I only know pretty much what's been in the book. There's a few other stories that I do remember. She used to get... A story that she used to tell people was always caught my attention. When you think about your mother kissing some other man, she would tell a story that the best kisser that she ever knew, mm-hmm. she said, and my father probably wouldn't have been in the room when she said this story, but she said it multiple times. Mm-hmm. The best kisser was that she knew in her professional life was Clark Gable.
Oh, and, yes. Mm-hmm.
And that may have been in the book. I can't remember now.
I don't remember if it was, but I know that there are other people that have said that Clark Gable was a good kisser, and then I hear that he was terrible to kiss because legend has it that he had, like, wooden teeth or something. I don't know, but I've heard...
But she said he was the best kisser that she ever had, and the reason... was he knew where to place his feet.
Huh.
So you can make what you want out of that.
Hmm.
Because you're either too close, too far away, too to the side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the position of your body, I guess.
She was very smart to say that, because now that I'm thinking about it, she does have a point. She does have a good point. I'll have to go back and rewatch.
Next time some guy wants to kiss you,
yes.
Pay attention. Make sure he's getting his feet right.
I sure will. Did she ever mention what movie star was her favorite to work with? Or one that she didn't particularly like?
Well, I think that one of the ones that I know she loved working with was Sir Alec Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what movie it is?
I'm trying to think.
I'm thinking about it too.
I'm trying to think which one, because I think I know which one, but I can't remember. It wasn't Mame, it was probably, I don't know.
No. She's playing a Jewish mother.
Gypsy, then. Isn't it Gypsy?
Nope.
Oh, no.
It's called The Majority of One.
Oh. Okay. I haven't seen that in 10 years.
If you haven't seen that movie, you should see
it. I need to. I have heard so much about it, and I recorded it, and I just haven't gotten the chance to watch it yet, so.
Alec Guinness was one of the great male actors of that era.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 20th century. And The idea of the movie was very, very bold, that Roz Russell was going to play a Jewish mama in Queens, from Queens or the Bronx or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Alec Guinness, who was British, and my mother, you know, was of kind of Irish-Scottish descent.
Oh, yes.
And Alec Guinness was British, English, and he was going to play a Japanese gentleman. And they did. And she had a great deal of affection for him. They had the wonderful exchanges of correspondence that after that movie that I have, that I know about because I have the letters.
Oh, good. I'm glad you kept something.
And they were very fond of each other.
Oh, good. Now, I've heard...
But, you know, it's hard to answer your question because,
yeah.
You know, she was very fond of Jimmy Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
There were rumors, this is before she met my father, there was mm-hmm. rumor that she and Jimmy Stewart might get married. And, you know, I mean, she was a big star from the mid-30s on, and she knew all these big stars.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because they were family friends, I know that she really was fond of Jimmy Stewart.
Yep. And Cary Grant introduced your parents. That's what I heard.
That's true.
That's true. Okay. Okay, so that was true.
That story is totally true.
Okay.
My father knew Cary Grant from the fact that he lived in England, and then he worked, when he got through school, he worked in the entertainment industry in London and knew Cary Grant well. They were very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And when my father came to the United States in, I think it was 39, it was in late 39 after the start of World War II in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to join the British Army because he was living in England, but they wouldn't, he wanted to be an officer and they wouldn't let him be an officer because he was a Danish national.
Mm.
So he came to the United States by boat, and it took an extra long time for the boat to get here because it had to zigzag because the German U-boats were sinking all kinds of shipping between Great Britain and the United States.
Mm.
And on the boat, the only movie that they had, apparently, was The Women. And he heard my mother's voice when the movie was playing, and then he went and saw the movie, and he thought she, kind of like what you said, he thought she was great.
Mm-hmm.
Fell in love with her, got to New York, contacted Cary Grant, who was his buddy in Hollywood, and Cary said, get on a train and come out here and you can stay with me. And he did. And for the first, I don't know, 6 months or so, he was in Hollywood. And my father had a career, or he'd been in Hollywood in the 30s several times with his father. That's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew a lot about the entertainment industry, and he got a job as an agent. And, but anyway, he told Cary Grant about, seeing this, what people would say today, this hot woman in, the movie The Women, and that he'd really like to meet her. And Cary said, well, by coincidence, I can help you with that, because he said, I'm making a movie with her right now. And, that's when they were making His Girl Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And he, said he was having dinner with my mother, at Chasen's, which was a Hollywood restaurant that a lot of actors went to in those days. And he told my father about it, and the story is that my father came over knowing that my mother was, that Roz was there, and he came over and introduced himself, and my mother thought she was going on a date with Cary Grant. That's the way she always told the story, which is that she thought she was, that Cary had asked her, they were working together, he said, let's have dinner on Friday after work. She thought she was on a date with Cary Grant, and the way she said, this Danish guy came over and kept bugging me. And after that evening, he did bug her. I mean, he was bugging her for dates and sent flowers and and did the full boat romance thing. And that was during 1940. And he proposed and she agreed in sometime in 41, and they got married October 25th, 1941. And if you know your history, you know that Pearl Harbor and the start of American involvement in World War II was on, do you know the date?
December 7th, 41.
Good for you. I'm pleased you know that. And so they got married on October 25th, and the war started, the American part of the war started December 7th. And my mother, my father wanted to join the American military right away. And he had the same problem about citizenship. And she used her connections to get him naturalized as an American citizen. And by March of 42, he was a lieutenant in the U.S. Army Air Corps. And he served in those days the Air Force was part of the Army, and didn't separate out as a separate service until after World War II. So he served in the Army Air Corps until like March of 46, and my mother had all three of her brothers were in the military, so the war was a very nerve-wracking time for her. I was born in the middle of, in 1943, in the middle of the war. And so he got home long enough to create me. And so it was a very difficult time for her, you know, because not only, my father was not in combat, but two of her brothers were. And so it was a difficult time.
Did she want to have more kids, or was just one just enough?
She wanted more kids.
Okay.
And I think it's important to keep in mind that what I said about the dates. I was born in May of 43. You can back out by 9 months when that started.
Yeah.
And my father was not around very much after I was, or, you know, he came home from time to time, but having another child during the war was not something that was high on her list. And by the time the war was over, I think there was another factor which you may or may not be aware of, which was that she was older than was known in terms of her professional life, in terms of the publicity about her life. And so in she was born in 1907. And, you know, by 1947, she was 40 years old. And women weren't having children as when they were older as much. And after the war, she was also needing to get back to her career. I mean, she did make movies during the war, but it was a difficult time.
That's... I'm glad that at least she wanted more kids, but adoption was not an option either for her.
I never was a party to that. to a conversation about that, so I don't know.
Okay. Now, I usually ask, does Rosalind have grandkids?
Yes, she does. I have three children.
Oh, good. Good. And, you know, they know about Roz being famous and all?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Do any of your kids want to be in the show business?
No. My daughter, I have a daughter who is 34 years old, and she works, she's an assistant curator, or the number two curator at an automotive museum here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Paula Peterson Automotive Museum. And she's worked there for 10 years, and she's an expert on cars.
Wow.
And she's very interested in my mother's career and, and her life. One of my oldest son, who's 39, he has some developmental limitations. He works as a maintenance worker for the state of California in state office buildings.
Oh.
And my youngest son is 25.
That's my age.
He is. I saw you just graduated.
Yes.
And this guy is racing towards the finish line of college. He is at the end of, assuming he passes all his classes this semester, he will be done in December.
Yes, that's when I graduated in May of this year, but they said I don't actually get to walk until December. So,
and he's finishing in December, and he won't walk until next year.
Oh.
But he's doing an internship. He's a marketing major.
Oh, sweet.
At a business school, and he's to graduate. He needed an internship.
Same with mine. Same with mine.
In his field.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And so he goes to an internship in downtown LA Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and he has his classes Tuesday and Thursday, and then the third or fourth class is online. So he's busy between the internship and the classes right now.
I know what that feels like when I was doing my internship during the summer, and they were like, because I'm in Galveston, and I drove all the way out to Houston. I still drive all the way out to Houston, which is not a big deal, but, you know.
And, well, at least you didn't drown in the hurricane.
Oh, no, we did not. I know for us, the water got on our, we had flooding on our streets badly. I mean, a friend of mine came over, and she literally was stuck at my house for 2 days, which was fine. I was like, yay, old movie marathon, hooray. which she was like, I don't know if I'm up for this. I put in Auntie Mame. She's like, oh, I don't know who this is, but I love her. And I was like, it's Roz. Hey. But the waters, I mean, they were not as bad in Galveston as they were in downtown Houston. I mean, I work as a photographer right now at two different places, and I couldn't get to either one of them. And they were like, don't worry, it's okay. We're closed anyway. Like, we have so much water damage, you would not even believe. And I was like,
yeah, sure.
I was like, all right, I will stay home. But, and then my mother was just like, as soon as they said, okay, you can come back to work, my mother was just like, finally, you get to go back to work. It almost drives you stir crazy when you're staying at home all day. But luckily, we did not lose power. Our, you know, the water was, we live on the bay, I guess you could say, but the water is very close to our house. So it the water was like inching towards our house, and we're like, no, go back the other way, go back the other way. But
I'm glad to hear that you didn't get wiped out.
No, I know so many of my friends did in Houston, and they're still not able to get back to their house yet. They have to tear out all the walls. Oh, my goodness gracious. And another thing I usually ask, is, do you mind if I call you every now and then or email you every now and then to make sure you're okay, just to check up on you, just see if I have anything else?
yeah, sure.
That's okay. That's great.
I have a business, mm-hmm. and I'm getting into a starting right about now. The business is kind of cyclical, and the busy time is going to be for the next 6 months or so.
Okay,
that doesn't mean I won't respond to you.
Okay.
But I have less free time now for the next 6 months or so.
Okay. And what is your business, may I ask? What is it that you do?
I'll give you our website. The website is Millennium Strategy.
Okay,
Millennium Strategy Partners.
Millennium Strategy, I'm sorry, what? Partners?
Partners, yeah.
Yes, okay. Sweet. Millennium?
So it's MillenniumStrategyPartners.com.
Okay, oh, wow.
Did you just Google it?
I did. And, wow.
On my screen, it's the number one response.
I see your name.
Yeah.
Yay. That's pretty awesome. You're the founder and partner.
Yeah, and you can, if you want information about me, not that you do, but if you do.
Well, of course.
Where it says our team.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're down that page.
Yes, I am. It says Lance Brisson, founder and partner.
And you can read a abbreviated bio there.
Okay, that's great. Well, I thank you so much for your time and letting me tell your mother's story to people who need to know, because I'm going to say this from a very personal perspective. Like, I have loved your mother for a long, long time, and I still do. And I just ordered her book for $4, and I was like, worth it.
Well, you found it, right?
I found it, yes. I found it. So.
It's a pretty great book. I told you that she was born and raised in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And Waterbury has a museum. It's a small city.
Mm-hmm.
And they contacted me last year.
Ooh.
And they did an exhibit on my mother, and they wanted some help with some family photographs showing her my mother and her brothers and sisters and parents and stuff, all of them, photographs of them as in Waterbury.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too bad that the exhibit isn't available online right now. But if I ever hear that they're doing another exhibit or something like that, I'll let you know.
Oh, great. Thank you. I was going to ask, also another thing before I let you go. Speaking of a good thing that you mentioned, that you kept a lot of her stuff, did you keep her honorary Oscar that she got?
Yes, I have. I'm in an office in my house. I have an office here, and raise my head and look at it. And I also have her Tony Award here.
Oh, good. Okay. And you kept a lot of her childhood photos, I guess you could say, or family photos and things.
I have given, I've got all of the family photos.
Mm-hmm.
This year I decided to give them, I scanned them all.
Okay, good.
And I decided to give the originals. Some of them go back to the 19th century.
Wow.
And to the museum in Waterbury. It's called the Matatuck.
Okay.
And that gift is now there, although they're still in the process of trying to figure out...
digitalizing it and scanning it and...
cataloging it and all that stuff.
Oh, yes.
And because I didn't feel it was a good thing... my kids are not going to be particularly interested in pictures. actors from 1910 and 1912 and that mm-hmm. stuff. The stuff from her career, I have plenty of, for them, I have plenty of great pictures.
Okay. And did she ever, I know she mentioned it in the book, but did she ever mention her childhood to you about what it was like?
Oh, yeah, it's like what's in the book. Is what she would talk about being a camp counselor, mm-hmm. being a writing, she was very athletic,
mm-hmm.
and being a writing instructor, being a swimming instructor, being a camp counselor, you know, canoeing and this and that, and she was when she was younger, I mean, as a young adult and as a young adult, she played golf and tennis, and she did a lot of stuff.
Do you remember probably one of the best pieces of advice she ever gave you for anything, for life even?
Something that she said, her father said to her,
mm-hmm.
it was all her sisters and her, they adored her father, mm-hmm. and who, as I said, was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
He said, moderation in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Words to live by, moderation
in everything. Okay, great. I will definitely get started on making her peace and things, and I do appreciate you talking with me. I really do.
Well, good luck as you build your career. I read your letter and saw what you're doing. And,
yes, thank you.
And I wish you luck and success.
Thank you. And again, you know, the reason why I wanted to reach out is because she is your mother, and I wanted to make sure it was okay to place her in this series because I wanted to give, so it's kind of like, let me put it this way. She was there for me as a kid, and now I'm doing something for her. And as a very big film buff, obviously, I mean, I majored in film. I really wanted to give, I just wanted to ask.
Did you know that there was a documentary made about her career?
No, I didn't.
And there's quite a bit of video in this documentary.
Okay.
I've got to go, but I'll tell you what I can about the documentary.
Okay, great, please.
First, I got to find it.
Okay. Yes, I'm aware of that.
Well, it's in the book too. And this, you know, the story was that it was a true story that Congress appropriated. When my mother died, she the last few years of her life, she'd been traveling around the country trying to get the government. There was no federal funding for arthritis research, and. Gerald Ford, president,
mm-hmm.
was president because Nixon resigned as president, and mm-hmm. Jerry Ford was the vice president at the time. And she got Ford to create an arthritis commission, which went around the country holding hearings and building, increasing awareness of arthritis, particularly rheumatoid arthritis. arthritis is a terrible disease.
Mm-hmm.
And building political support for federal funding for arthritis. When my mother passed away, Congress appropriated some money to create an arthritis research center in her name. There was a competition that came down between UCLA here in Los Angeles and UC San Francisco, which is completely a medical school, mm-hmm. UC San Francisco. And that was, they got the money and they have the research center.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of years ago, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, the guy who is, who's now passed away, but he was the head of the research center, he and my mother had been the moving forces behind the commission that went all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he contacted me and said, you know, there's no documentary about your mother.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be one.
Yeah.
And he said, I know a production company, and I had given him, I want to leave this, skip over the financing part of this.
Okay.
And I said, fine, I'll support that. And this company didn't mean I was supporting it financially, mm-hmm. But I had something to do with helping them get the money.
Mm-hmm.
And so this documentary was distributed on primarily on PBS.
Mm-hmm.
It was never a national PBS show, in other words, where everybody in the country could see it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It was made available to PBS stations,
mm-hmm.
and hundreds of them ran it,
mm-hmm.
at different times.
Okay.
And the reason I knew about it, for many reasons, not the least of which is there's some interviews with me in there, and I would get calls from people, so-and-so, a friend of mine's in Hawaii, and say, I just saw you on TV. Somebody else is in Maine, and I just saw you on TV. So, anyway, the name of it is Life is a Banquet. That won't. The Rosalind Russell story. And I don't know. I don't have... I think I've only got two copies of it, and I'm not going to let them go.
No, absolutely not. I will definitely try to find a copy of it.
I just wonder whether...
Yep.
It is.
Got it. Narrated by... Okay, let's see.
Narrated by Kathleen Turner.
Yes, is that it?
Yep.
Got it.
You can get it.
Yes.
Looks like new from $12.99.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got it.
There's a lot of interesting video in it, and... Now, I'm not giving you the rights to it, so it's not my documentary.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you ever wanted to use something that's in this,
mm-hmm.
it's pictures of my mother, those probably are mine.
Okay.
But the documentary itself... you'd have to contact the production.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you gotta go.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you.